brother. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we're serving a mighty God. You know, we got to remember that what Jesus went through when he, you know, he died on the cross. But before that, he was mocked. He was made fun of. He was tortured. He was beaten. He was, and then he was forced to carry his cross. I mean, he was in, I mean, all that he did for us is amazing, truly. And I just praise God and thank God because, you know, as Psalms 107, it says, let's just go there real quick. I wasn't planning on that, but you know what? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Are you praising your God for what he did for us? Woo! I'm praising God and thanking God and magnifying his name because he is such an awesome God. And I want to start right off with going to Ruth again. We're going to go to Ruth again. Praise God. What a beautiful, beautiful story. What a beautiful chapter. What a beautiful representation of Christ and how good God is to us. And I just thank God and praise God. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything. And, Lord God, just let your blessings be upon all of us. And, Lord God, let me say what you want me to say and not to say what you don't want me to say, Lord God. And Lord God, I thank you for everything. And this book is so awesome. I love it. Praise God. Let's just get going because I can't hardly wait. Chapter 3. And verse 8, but before we start, I just wanted to remind you that remember that Ruth went to the feet of Boaz, and, Naomi told her what to do. So, and then in verse 8 it said, and it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid or startled, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter and than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest or requested or asked of me, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." So Ruth went to Boaz and basically is requesting that he be her kinsman and perform the duties. And remember last week we talked about all the duties of a kinsman, what he does, and so she was asking him to do that. So and he said, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is another kinsman nearer than I." But let's go. I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 16 because we're, you know, with him spreading the skirt, she asked him to spread the skirt over him. And so in Ezekiel, let's go there real quick. Praise the Lord. Okay, Ezekiel, where are you? There you are. Okay. Praise God. Ezekiel 16 and we're going to go to verse 8. And it says, God marries Israel, okay? And this is about Israel and God. And the marriage and so on and things that took place. But let's go to verse 8. "Now when God passed by thee, Israel, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness." Now the skirt is like a corner of a garment, okay? It's like they call it the wing or the corner of the garment. "And covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entreated into a covenant and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, thou becamest mine." So first off, like spreading the skirt over thee is like a being engaged, like in our customs, that was the Hebrew custom. And in our custom, when we get engaged, we have a ring that we put on the finger, you know, of the bride to be and the groom, and they're, you know, planning on getting married down the road. And they, you know, they confess their love to one another and so on. But But then after that, they, until they say I do, they are not married. They still, and you've heard this many times, where the woman or the man, he gets out of the situation. He doesn't go forward with the engagement, or she doesn't go forward with the engagement because it's not a covenant yet. So it's still just, it's just, you know, a demonstration of their love, but it's not really the true commitment or covenant. So that is, you know, still a covenant to come. So, and he's, and the Lord says, unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becomest mine. So when they marry, they become, then you own that. And I love that when Sister Rebecca, she says, you know what, I am the private property of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we are. We are private property. And that's when you have that covenant. Remember in Songs of Solomon also says, my beloved is mine, and I am my beloved's. Praise God. And, you know, so there's really that oneness there. And then I washed thee with water, yea, and I thoroughly washed away the blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with embroidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hand, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness, or his glory, his splendor, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. And Ruth, actually, remember how she was, you know, came from Moab. She was poor, and you know, she was in a bad state. But as the kinsman, as she becomes, as we'll see, married to the kinsman Boaz, then it's like her splendor is, his splendor is upon her. Praise God. I love that. Praise the Lord. And then let's go also to Psalms 45, because also that's another good one that says, okay, this is the preface before that says, the psalm for the king's marriage. So once again, in Psalms 45, and we'll start at verse 10. It says, hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear. Forget also that thine own people and thy father's house. Didn't Ruth do that? She forgot her people and her father's house. Okay, praise God. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of a wrought gold. She hath been brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With the gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to preface that, because it really explains what's going on there when she went before him and she asked him to put his skirt over him. That's really what it means. It's basically she's asking him to be her kinsman, to marry her, to be his kinsman. That's what a kinsman does. He marries the widow. So praise God. So anyway, and now my daughter, verse 11, and now my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And keep in mind also that she is a virtuous woman. She's not going to do anything that Naomi told her not to do. She's not going to do it because she's obedient. Remember, she's shown obedience. And we know that Boaz is a righteous man. He's mighty, and he's a righteous man. So we know that all this, they're doing this, they're following the laws and the commandments of God. And keep that in mind, because we need to esteem that relationship and what they did. And she, okay, and tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if He will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman. This is the one who's nearer than he is. There's somebody that's closer or has higher, you know, or has priority being first. Let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she laid down once again. She laid down into the morning at his feet. Now, keep in mind too that when she was laying at his feet, that is a sign of submissiveness, as you know, to showing that she's going to be submissive to him. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another or recognize anyone. And he said, "Let it not be known that a woman came in the floor." Now, keep in mind, Boaz is wise. Okay, he's wise, and you know, if you're going to purchase something, you know, you do not go out and publish it, let it be known what's going on. You keep the, you know, I mean, especially if you're going to go purchase something and you want a deal, you're not going to go out there, "Man, I really want that. And go on and blab it all." No. The secret things belong to the Lord. Hallelujah. So he's telling her to keep quiet about it. So, you know, not publish it out. So also he said, "Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it." And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter, or how are you doing?" basically. And she told her all that the man had done unto her, putting the skirt over her feet and or over her and so on, putting his skirt over her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty unto the mother-in-law.'" Keep in mind, he's already practicing the kinsman duties, because when he let them glean the barley, the leftover things in the field, he was already acting that part, but he still hasn't done it all yet, okay? He still hasn't done everything. So, and then she said, "Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, or what the outcome will be, for the man will not be in rest or rest until he have finished the thing this day." So praise God. And then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by and said unto him, "Oh, so such a one, turn aside," or "so and so." And you know what? You know, this reminded me, have you ever said, "Oh, you know so-and-so over there, so-and-so"? It's an expression. It doesn't hold very much weight. It is not very weighty. It's not important. It's very light. You know, it's like, you know, so basically he's saying, "Hey, so, you know, so-and-so over there." You know, so basically it shows that this is not, you know, it's not a very important person, so to speak. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit ye down here." And they sat down. And these are the customs of the Hebrews and the laws of the Israelites. And he said unto the kinsman, he says to that man, who the so-and-so guy, and he says, "Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother's Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, or to inform you, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before all these elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee." In other words, he's second in line. Okay, he's not first in line, he's second in line. And he said, "I and the guy, so-and-so," I'm going to call him so-and-so, and he said, "I will redeem it." Okay, and then Boaz explains a little further. "Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman so-and-so said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, or the right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it. Okay, so praise the Lord. So this kinsman, let's go. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15. Now you probably know where I'm going. Verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, this is the clincher here, okay? This is the clincher, because I never really totally understood that. I mean, but with Ruth and Boaz and this kinsman so-and-so, it made it very, very, very clear. Praise the Lord. Howbeit, okay, I looked it up, means although. Howbeit, that's a tough word. Although that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterwards, that which is spiritual. So I want to recap a little bit. Remember how Boaz is the type, the similitude of Christ. He is a type of Christ. Ruth is a similitude or a type of the bride. Naomi being the type or similitude of the church. Okay? So what this, in verse 46, it is saying, okay, howbeit that was not first, which is spiritual. In other words, it's saying the spiritual didn't come first. The natural came first. The first Adam came first. As the kinsman so-and-so, he's first. He's first because we in this Adamic nature, because of Adam's, the sin of one man, all mankind fell. And we were in a bad state. Sin and death had power over us. You know, we were in poverty. We were all that. But, the last Adam, woo! Or the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And it says, and afterward, that which is spiritual. So that kinsman is that Adamic nature that we got to get rid of. Now, this is good too, because go back to Ruth, praise God. Go back to Ruth, hallelujah. And remember the kinsman, let's go to verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou the right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So, because he wanted to redeem it, he wanted to go purchase that property. He wanted it. He said, yeah, I'll redeem it. But then it came the other responsibilities of marrying Ruth and taking on the full-blown kinsman redeemer function and duties, and he didn't want it because he could not follow the law. That was the law. He could not follow the law. But Christ came and he fulfilled the law. Boaz filled the law. Boaz filled the law. Jesus Christ filled the law because he came to fulfill the law. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! And so, and not only that, it also, because he knew that was too much. He was too selfish to take on that. So that's that Adamic nature, that selfish nature that we have. We must get rid of it and be clothed in raiment of gold and of made and fine needlework. Praise God. So it's just, I just love this. It was like, wow, this is so awesome. Praise God. Okay, so now, let's verse 7. Now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. So so he took off his shoe, and I believe I believe that the so-and-so took off his shoe. I'm not positive on that, but anyway, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, well, let's read it again. Verse 7, now this was a manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for yourself or for you. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. That's the other duty that he's fulfilling now, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. Remember, that's where the, excuse me, the 12 tribes came from. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. Praise God. And remember back in Ezekiel, where it said that you're going to be, you know, famous, and you're going to be well known in all the land. And so praise God. And this is what, you know, this is what Ruth and was looking for her future to this is what she was going to be seeing down the road, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, and of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. That is where the consummation of the marriage took place. This is the covenant. This is where they came together as one in unity of marriage. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman redeemer, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of life. Has Christ not restored our life? He's brought us life. He died on the cross. He went through the pain and the shame and all that. But God raised him from the dead and sat him on the right hand of God, that we are going to live, that we are going to live. Praise God, the restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And that means a sustainer of thy old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee. So Ruth loved the church. We are to love the church. We are to love the body of Christ. We are to dwell in unity. We are in Psalms 133, as we heard earlier, how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, praise God, and in love. Because when you're in unity, the love has to be there. The love has to be there. If there's no love, there's no unity, praise God. So anyway, verse 15 again, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and lay it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to verse 18. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. And so came the lineage of Christ. Hallelujah! Through this faithful, praise God, through this faithful woman, Ruth and Naomi, praise God. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. That's our Savior. For the Lord our God is mighty. He's in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we are. We are in the bride of Christ. We're to get ready for his coming. We are to clothe ourselves. We are to get rid of all that stuff that's not right in our lives. Praise God. So I thank my God for this book. It's just beautiful. I praise the Word of God and I praise his Word.
Okay. Praise the Lord. That's why we can shout. That's why we shout, because that's where we're going, right? Sister Alicia's favorite scripture in Isaiah. What's that scripture, sister? Praise the cunning workman. See, that reminds me of that, what sister just spoke about. Isaiah. Let's just go there. Isaiah, because this is God's show, right? This is all God. It doesn't matter what you read and the scriptures you write down. You just move and flow in the Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. We are so blessed to be able to come to the house of God on a Wednesday night and be fed. Isaiah. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Maybe they can put it up there for me because I'm... Okay, so my pages are twisted. It's 20. When you have it, just say amen. Amen. Praise God. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation. Praise God. No oblation. And that's the joy of it. We don't have to have an oblation because we have our kinsman redeemer. Praise God. When we come to the end of ourselves and we realize that it's not about us. It's not even about us. We don't even have to worry. Again, it goes back to the logistics and the flesh that we worry about, right? But in the Spirit, God has already worked it out. He's already worked it out. That's why he's a good God. That's why we can praise the name of the Lord and just trust him, to trust him and free fall, you know, do a free fall. He that is so impoverished. Are you impoverished? I know I'm impoverished. Praise God. That he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree. Praise God. That will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman. Do we have a cunning workman, Lord? Praise God. We have a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. So that sums it up. That says it all. And that is the key. That is the key to creating me a clean heart, oh God. That is the key to, Lord, I am nothing without you. Who am I that you are mindful of me? Let's find that scripture. That's a psalm. We're just going to flow. Psalm, I believe that is a 139, is that? Or is that a, let's see, you scriptorians out there and put you all to work. Praise God. When you find it, shout out the scripture. Hallelujah. Say it again.
Psalms 8:4.
Let's go there. Psalms 8. Praise God. 8:4. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God, saints. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go there. Praise God. This is an interactive service. Praise the Lord. Psalm 8:4. What is man? Woo! That thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him. Right? Praise God. We sing a song. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? But are we calling? Are we crying out? This poor man cried out. Where's that scripture? Let's go there. Hallelujah. Woo! Psalms, what scripture is it, saints? Psalms 34. Praise God. This is impoverished. That's being impoverished, right? It's about, I don't have it, Lord, but you do. That's how I rest in the master's care. Praise God. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise God. Because our hope is in the Lord. Woo! Christ is the cornerstone, right? The chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. But are we rejecting him tonight? No, we are not. We are pressing in. Praise God, because everything, who we are, is in Christ, is in Christ alone. It's not, it's okay. I'm dust, I'm clay, right? But my faith is in Christ, Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we just, I mean, we've been blessed with all the scriptures that we've received. I mean, from Joshua to be courageous, right? Be very courageous. And Pastor started to really dig a foundation and give us a background knowledge of Joshua and all of the attributes and the qualities. God was using that man. He raised him up. He raised him up to be a leader, right? And we can all apply that to our lives, right? We are all in the church. We are the body of Christ, right? We're talking about unity. Well, if we're all going to come into the full knowledge and wisdom of God, we all have to activate, right? Use the weapons that we have, right? Tap into what God has placed inside of us, just like in Jeremiah when he talked about, you know, before, or I knew you in your mother's womb, before I formed you. We're all called, right? We all have gifts, right? We have to know that we've all been summoned, right? Summoned, right? That God works to finish his plan, to execute his justice and his righteousness, right? He will use and raise this up. He uses those talents that he has placed inside of us, not for our glory, not for us in the natural and the flesh, but for his kingdom. And we all know that whether we choose to hear or forbear, God's will be done, right? Whether we're a part of the plan or we wake up and realize that he wants to use us, right? So if we're going to be in the unity, we all have to come together in the unity of the faith, doing our part, not laying back, letting one member of the church or two members of the church of this body, right, move forward, because we all have a task to do. We all have a charge. We've all been summoned, right? Your relationship with God is not the same relationship that I have with God, right? Just as in Joshua, and as he was raising up him, he used Caleb and Joshua out of all those men, right? Because their minds and their hearts were fixed, and they had faith, and they moved according to the Spirit. God was in them. So yes, we can praise the Lord and say, yes, that's awesome, and see the work of the Lord moving forward, but we're not in it. We're not a part of it. Well, we're holding back, or we're not doing our part, or someone else will pick it up. Well, that person's strong, or that person always does it, so I'm just going to kick back. No, if we're going to all come into the unity of the faith, praise God, we have to be active, right? God doesn't honor our slothfulness and being lazy. There is something, we all can do something. And it doesn't always have to be a monetary. Yes, we need money. That's, of course, natural. You do need that. But we all have a talent. And so the question is, are we tapping into what God has placed inside of us, and are we giving it back to him, or is it lying dormant? So praise God for that. So with Joshua, the Lord used Joshua's strength and bravery to win the battle. And we saw, as there were many, many different battles, right? The Book of Remembrance, right? The Lord used Joshua's gifts to further his will, right? With the Israelites. Praise God. He was a mighty man of valor. Right, so let's just go to Numbers. I'm going to go to Numbers 14 real quick. Go backwards. Praise God. We got to just stand. Stand and fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Praise God. Move forward. And it's not easy sometimes in the natural, but we're not looking in the natural. We're supposed to be in the Spirit. Numbers 14, verse 8. It says here, if the Lord delight in us, right? So this is when the people were rebelling against God, but then there was an opportunity. See, there was an opportunity for them to rise up in Christ. and God used them. It says, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. So they brought back the good report. If the Lord delight in us, right, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. Right? Because God has already placed, he's already given us the victory. We know in Revelations, we know, right, the plan of God. We know the plan of God. It's not a mystery to us, right? We know that we have a shepherd who's been laying out the word. So it's one thing to not be in a church where you know the word and you know the plan of God, but we do know the plan of God, saints. And so too much is given, much is required. And so that is coming alive in me. Praise God. And I thank God because it's only through Christ that he can, to give us those eyes to see. Exactly. Praise God. But we got to stay in the word. So praise God. Only rebel not ye. Now, when you're rebelling, it's not like a physical, it doesn't have to be a physical rebellion. It's the negative thoughts. It's the enmity. It's the negative thinking. It's all those things that rise up and try to derail us from the plan of God, right, to move forward. Praise God. But all the congregation. Okay, so I'm not going to finish that out. So we have to just trust and know that we're not going to measure up, but in Christ. So it goes back to all that has been said and knowing the end point where we are moving towards. Praise God. So we need to all be leaders in our homes, leaders in our jobs, leaders just with our daily interactions with people, and to possess. It's not just possessing. When he says you will have good success and you will possess the land, possess your mind. Possess, have victory over your flesh, right? That's possessing. Possess and claim, proclaim that your household and your mind and your children are going to be blessed. And let the Lord work out those things. So you speak, because we know that God is doing his work, that we just have to move forward and trust. And he, if we cry out to him and are broken before him and trust in him as Joshua and Caleb, right? We know that he's going to work those peaceable fruits of righteousness. Praise God. And with Ruth, praise the Lord. Ruth, that was another opportunity. So in Ruth, let's just quickly, Ruth, as they were, you know, journeying, you know, think about, you know, they lost their husbands. I mean, she was Ruth, not Ruth, but Naomi lost her husband, you know, and then not only did her daughter-in-laws lose their husbands, and then they're completely like just seemingly in the flesh, like, oh my God, everything is going wrong, you know. But praise God, because the leader, look at the leader in Ruth, right? That was an opportunity for her to rise up, right? Oprah turned back. Right? But she stood and she clave. So let's just quickly end in Ruth. So let's go to Ruth, I believe, verse, we can start at 16. So let's go Ruth 1. Amen. Let's start at 16. It says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Right? Praise God. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And that is the commitment that we have to make to God, to our Christ, our kinsman redeemer, right? No matter what happens, I'm going to trust you. Though he slay me, I will trust you. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Praise the Lord. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So basically, I'm not going anywhere. So that's the kind of unmovable, unshakable we have to be. No matter what the situation, you don't look at what you see in your natural eyes. You just stay the course, because those are all tests. Those are all tests. Everything that we go through, it's a test to see. How many times does Pastor have to tell us? Those tests, you fill in the blank of the tests that we go through on a daily, the battles, right? Those are all tests to see, you know, are you going to stand? Are you going to quiver? Are you going to cleave? Are you going to fold? Are you going to hold? You got to know when to hold and when to fold, like Pastor says sometimes. But those are all tests, because he cannot have another Satan in the kingdom. There cannot be another Lucifer. So that way, all of that chaff has to be, right, shaken. And even there's more to come, and it's only getting, if we're shaking now, what are we going to do when it's the time of learning and then Satan is loosed, you know, and the day is shortened? I mean, if we're shaking now, right,
then how much more so, right? I want to be in the kingdom. Do you guys want to be in the kingdom? Do you want to be a part of the company, right? So it's now is the time to fight, to not retreat, to hold fast, to stand our ground, to not give place to the enemy, to close off all those doors that the enemy, whether it be, you know, you close the front door, then he's going to go through the back door. You close the back door, he's going to try to go through the window. You close the window, he's going to try to go, you know, you just have to know that it's think it no strange thing when we have these different things befall us, right? Because of who we are. So praise God. So I'm just thankful for the messages that we're receiving and for what God is doing in us. And yes, he's bringing us together. We all are in our own lanes and we all have different things to go through because we all have different gifts. We all have, right? And we don't look at each other as, oh, you have something that I want or something that I have. But we look at, we are all together moving forward in the army of God to do God's will. So our prayers need to be, at least my prayers daily, is Lord, let your will be done and help my heart to line up to what your plan is and your will is for my life. Yes, we think we're going to do, you know, X, Y, Z, but ultimately we need to be wanting what God wants, right? Loving what he loves, hating what he hates, right? So, and if we have thoughts that are contrary to his will, then that's what we need to cast down, destroy, and to rebuke, and to cry, be impoverished, ask the Lord, cry out, seek him in his knowledge and his wisdom and his plan for our lives, and to shut the doors that don't lead to him, just as he's doing with our children. He's guiding and raising up that the next generation, right? So that way there is a straight path, right? And so that way we don't have to stumble and to have those pitfalls. But praise God, what a beautiful night tonight. God is just raising up all of the saints, Sister Marina, Sister Alicia. Awesome job, and you're pressing in, and you're just standing. You guys have light. Sister Alejandra's been coming. She's doing her. We are all important. We are all in the body of Christ. We are all important. You know, you stand fast. You push the enemy back, and you don't let him lie and rob and steal from us any longer. Any longer. Women, if it means that we have to exhort and encourage, whether it be not just our children, it's your mate. Your mate. You know, your household, your marriage, you know, and when one is weak, the other person is strong and we move forward, right? We just continue to fight the good fight of faith and encourage one another and love one another. Just as it was mentioned, if love isn't in it, then what do we have, right? Praise God. So I just thank the Lord. We love the Lord. We thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Come on, Brother Kobe. Come on, Brother Kobe. We need the fire, Brother Kobe. I'm encouraging and exhorting you. Bring the word. Bring forth that word. Stand and fight. Woo! Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Encouraging, huh? Yeah. I know, right? I'm telling you, that's praise God. Praise God. I was chosen to follow both sisters tonight. Thanks, Sister Rosie. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a praise. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. That's right. That's right. When you place behind the eight ball. Praise God. Praise God. That was awesome. Both sisters have awesome word. I'm telling you, awesome word. And I mean, how do you follow up? You know, how do you follow both messages? Amen. I mean, it's just so awesome. And I, you know, I mean, just hearing about Ruth and just understanding how, you know, she was redeemed and Boaz being such an impact in her life, and even Naomi and she being obedient, just the obedience of Ruth. I mean, that alone, that's, she's from Moab. Her obedience just from being Moab alone, but she following and being obedient and understanding, this is where I want to be, is with you. I don't want to go back. And she didn't want to go back. Amen. And she was redeemed. That's awesome. I mean, that is awesome. And that is a reason to shout. That's a reason for her to praise, because we are the purchased possession. Amen. We are the purchased possession. Amen. Praise God. And Well, I just want to go into Jeremiah 32. Praise God. And this is the, you know, in Jeremiah this time when he was shut up by King Zedekiah, and he couldn't speak. You know, and he was in trouble, so he couldn't speak, and so but word of God came to him. And it's and in verse and let's go down, just go down just quickly for time. Down to verse 6. And 32 verse 6, it says, "And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle shall come unto thee, saying, Buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it." The right of redemption, amen? So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Saying, buy it. You have the right of redemption and the right of inheritance. Praise the Lord. And I bought the field in Hanamel, the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed him the money in the balances. So the evidence was written down. It was recorded. It was sealed. And there was witnesses. You all see it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And when the situation with Boaz, he's sitting in front of the kinsman that's there. He said, listen, this is what we're going to do. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. But they're all witnesses to what he's saying. They're all witnesses. So he's not just doing it on his own. He's letting them know, and they're witnesses to it, that this is what we have to do. Amen? And let me see. I just lost my page. It says, so I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. Are you sealed? Are we sealed? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Okay, now you get where I'm going. All right. And I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that subscribed the book of the purchase, before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. See, Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. It was going to be destroyed at this time. And so they're all sitting in prison. But this purchase is happening at the same time. Right up under Zedekiah's eyes, it's all happening right now. God is making a purchase, getting a purchase possession, amen, and getting it sealed, amen. The deeds are being bought right now, at this moment, right up under, in the face of Jerusalem being destroyed, the deeds are being bought, amen. Which is why Christ came. As Christ was here, he was purchasing the possession as he sat on the cross, right in the face, amen, right in the face of the enemy. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And in the presence, it says, and I charged Baruch, the son of Baruch, before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence, and it says where evidences, it says deeds, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in what? Earthen vessels. Earthen vessels. So, praise God. So what's inside of you has already been bought. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Christ paid it all. He paid it all. So you know, what's inside of us is the inner man. It's the inner man. The outer man is the earthen vessels. The flesh is going to go where it's going to go. Amen. But the inner man is going to go back to its owner. Back to its owner, which is God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So put them in the earthen vessels, that they may continue many days. So we'll continue many days until the flesh is gone. But the spirit goes back to the Father. Amen. Where it came from. Praise God. Praise God. It says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. So don't worry. Amen. Don't worry. We've already been, it's the price has been paid. Amen. We've been bought and paid for. We're purchased possessions of Christ. Amen. Praise God. And we're here, but we're those earthen vessels. Amen. We're those earthen vessels for now until our days are done. But we are already purchased, and we're going back to the Father who purchased us. Amen. Praise God. And it says, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for him. If he can do that right in the face of Jerusalem being destroyed, he can do anything. Praise God. There's nothing that's too hard for God. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Praise the Lord. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. And we'll go just quickly to 36, Jeremiah 36. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even into this day. It may be in that house that the house of Judah will hear all evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their son. Then Jeremiah called who? Baruch. Baruch, come here. I can't speak. I'm shut up. So you have to speak it. So guess who gets the blessing to speak the words? Amen. It's Baruch. He was spared. He was spared from Jerusalem being destroyed. He was the one that was spared. And he gets to take all the evidences, all the deeds, and put them in earthen vessels. Praise God. So he was spared, and he was able. He says, there in Carol Jeremiah, Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read into the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house open. Lord's house open the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. Praise God. So he was spared. He was there and he was spared, and he gets to do the work of God. He gets to do it. And Jeremiah's, I can't do it. You have to go do it. But he does it. He does it, and he was spared from being destroyed, and that's a blessing. That's awesome. That would just interest me, because it was just that's he was spared. And the thing is, we got to understand our lives were spared. We were redeemed and pulled out of the miry clay, and we were redeemed from that horrible pit, and our lives were spared. And God says, "I love you with an everlasting love. I love you. You don't have to worry. You've been purchased. The victory's won. There's no need to worry. There's no need to fear. Amen." Praise God. And back in 32, quickly, in verse 19, it says, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all thy ways, all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto the day and in Israel and among other men, and hath made thee a name as at this day. And has brought forth thy people, Israel, out of the land of the Egypt, with signs and with wonders, and with strong hand, and with stretched out arm, and with great terror, and has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not thy voice. That's where the problem was. There's the problem. Neither walked in thy law. There's the problem. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest. There's the problem. Commandest them to do. They didn't do it. They didn't want to do it. They didn't do it out of the love of their heart. They were worried. They were moaning. They were always just, I want this. I want this. And they, what were they doing for God? Nothing. That's when we can get trapped. Ruth obeyed. She didn't say, well, Naomi, No, she, okay, I'm going to do everything you asked me to do. And she followed, and she was blessed. Amen? Yeah. and she was blessed. And she was redeemed. Yes. Praise God. She was redeemed and she was blessed and she obeyed. But they didn't obey. And says, all they commanded them to do, therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them. Behold, the mounts that they are come unto the city and they to take it, and the city is given to the hand of the Chaldeans that fight against it, because of the sword and of the famine and of the pestilence, and what thou hast spoken is come to pass, and behold, thou seest it. And thou hast said unto me, O Lord God, buy thee the field for money, and take witnesses, for the city is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. So the city is given, but that land that was bought is not given. So that things are going to happen. What's going to happen is right now in the world. There's things that are going on that out of our control, but we're sons and daughters of God. Amen. We've been bought. So no matter what happens, we've been purchased. No matter what happens, there's no need to fear. No matter what happens, what are you worrying for? No matter what happens, who do you have with you? You have a big brother. Amen. You have the Lord. Amen. You have a Father, a Heavenly Father, God. Amen. That's who you cry out to. You don't cry out to going, please, service man, whatever. What can you do? When everything is happening, you've been bought and paid for by a higher power. Amen. By a higher power. And it says, verse 36, it says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for him? There's nothing too hard for him. Amen. That's the joy of it. When we understand who we are, we understand that why we have a reason to praise. There's nothing too hard for God. You have a reason to praise because there's nothing too hard for him. He makes it simple. And he just tells Jeremiah, is there anything too hard? No. And we have to come to that. I guess it's so simple, but sometimes it can be so hard. Sometimes it can be so hard in the face of what we face throughout the day. But it's just that simple. He says, I am the Lord. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? What do we simply say? No, there isn't, Lord. No, there isn't. But I thank God for what you've done for me. Amen? That's what it comes down to. So our praise should be that thanks. Our praise should be that love that we give back to him. Our praise should be something that said that responds to that. Is there anything too hard for me? No, there isn't. That's why when we praise, we're giving that back to him, and that's is a response. A response. So we respond by our praise. We respond by our tears. We respond by just giving the Lord praise. Do his name. Amen. Because there's nothing that's too hard for him. He's brought us out. He's turned our lives around when nobody realized it was happening. We didn't even realize it was happening. But there's a reason why we can praise. It's just because of that. That's why it's like I said, it could be so simple, but it could be so hard sometimes. But we just have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That's what it comes down to. We fight the good fight of faith, and we don't look back. There's no reason to look back. There's no reason to look back. Ruth, if Ruth looked back, that would have been it. We wouldn't hear about a Ruth. Amen. And we wouldn't hear about her carrying on throughout the whole Bible. We wouldn't hear about it. But she did. She obeyed. Amen. And she stayed on that path. And she stayed. And it was her lifestyle that she lived. Her lifestyle for God that she lived. She followed. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Go to sleep. Praise God. So let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And